This is Pastor Mike Eccleston speaking, and I would like to welcome you to Heritage Baptist Church's online audio library. These messages are provided not as a substitute for the assembling of God's people, nor as a substitute for the regular reading of God's Word, but rather as a spiritual supplement for a deeper understanding of His Word. May He add His blessing as you listen. Okay, let's go ahead and open our Bibles to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Hebrews, chapter 11. We'll start here in verse 1, and I'm going to move through the chapter. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Verse 32. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak, of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also and Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and in caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Chapter 12. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank You for the reading of Your Word. We thank You that we have, in fact, Your Word that has been delivered and preserved through all these centuries. We don't have missing pages, missing verses. We don't have changed verses. We have what You wrote and were copied and preserved. We're grateful for that. We have confidence that what You say is so, and we have everything that You said that we need to know. I pray that we would understand our great need spiritually. We can go through life without any spirituality whatsoever, but someday, sometime, we'll realize the void, the vacuum that exists within us, that we are all we have. And what comes after all we have? Well, we know death comes, but death is not the end. Death is the beginning. The beginning of either eternal life or an eternal damnation, depending upon what we do with the Lord Jesus Christ while we have breath in our being. We know that the Lord Jesus Christ came for us, that He was, in fact, God manifest in the flesh, that He lived a perfect life, went to a cross, shed His blood, not for Him Himself, but for us and our sin, our debt of sin. He died, He was buried, and He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. He offers to all mankind salvation in His name, in His name alone. We're told that we are saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is a gift from You. Not of works, lest any man should boast. So speak to our hearts this morning, wherever we are. The message basically is that we who are saved, but it also contains things that the Holy Spirit, I believe, can work in the life of anybody that's not saved to understand their great spiritual need of Christ and the urgency of the hour. And we ask all this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Hebrews chapter 11, the great Faith Hall of Fame, as we call it. There are several names that should be very familiar to you, and many others are nameless, and still they're mentioned. You ever wonder who they were? I mean, they obviously were people that lived through this time for Paul to be able to record that. Or if the recording of these instances describes an ongoing number of believers of all times and circumstances. Because I believe the latter. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, wherefore? So everything that Hebrews 11 talks about, and it ends, wherefore, in light of, yes, the named people, and the unnamed people, and their faith, and the different things that they endured. Wherefore, seeing we are compassed with so great a cloud of witnesses. I think they're out there still today. I think there are people we don't know. There may be some that we do know. But these are people that sacrifice greatly, suffer immensely for the cause of Christ. To get His Word out to other people, to read His Word and study His Word, and to worship like we do, but under great persecution. I know there's great liberty in some of these nations today, but I also know that they take that liberty away at will, because they don't want people to become too comfortable in their faith. When I was in mainland China, we stayed at a hotel in a city of, I think it was 11 million. And we were going to the home church the next day. And so we got up, ate breakfast, went out on the sidewalk, started walking down the city street. I had my Bible. The missionary had his Bible. Michael says, "Why are you guys holding a Bible out there like that? Don't you know where we are?" And Cedric turned around and says, "Yeah, we're in Wuhan. And they're not going to do anything." And it was one of those great moments of freedom where you weren't afraid to have a Bible. And so we went up to the home church. We had our service. There was no interference from the government. There were good results. We got to talk with some people that were members of a cult and had some great discussion with them. As far as I know, talking English to Chinese and Chinese to English. And they were pretty upset. And afterwards, they greeted us downstairs and they embraced us. And we're just glad that we were there to talk to them. And everything was good. But then we went to the place where they had the institute, and everything was closed up. All the shades are drawn. You couldn't go in or go out unless you had somebody with you. And they never opened, except they opened windows to let the bad air out and let the good air in, whatever that means. And that was it. But then I read last year, now they're going around arresting pastors and closing down, you know, house churches. And so they do that just periodically to keep people scared. And people are scared. They don't know who's who. But their faith means something. And they understand the cost there. I think if we're living in a state of me, myself, and I, selfism, We probably don't see a lot of people and the cost that they pay to believe the same truths we believe with that incident so far. And the cost is high. And I think these people are still around. And if we could had the opportunity to expand our knowledge of different places and different missionaries and so forth, we would see some of this. When I was there, I met people that... Now, I'm not agreeing with all of this, but a man left his family back in a big city in China to come to the Institute because he wasn't allowed to learn in his village. A mother and her daughter left their husband and father in a similar situation where they did not want them to go to a place where they could learn. They wanted them to stay there. And they snuck out. In both cases, the family did not know where they were. People came at great cost because they had to go back to these places and face whatever would transpire. But they were so hungry for the Word and to take that Word and use that Word and live that Word. Why can't we be people like that? Is it because everything is so casual, because there is no persecution? Is that how we can take this or leave it at will? It's just baffling. So there are other people that say Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 refers to heavenly witnesses. You can have the heavenly witnesses, but I think this is speaking about people even today as well. All right, so let me say a few things and get into where we're going. In verse 2, it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising his shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. In verse 2, we ought to be looking at him. He is supposed to be the focus of our look. I mean, he is supposed to be the focus of our life. And the only focus. This is where we start. Because he's the only focus that can carry us through everything that comes our way. No matter what it is, no matter when it is. Number two, the foundation of our faith. The author and finisher of our faith. This church is not the author of your faith. Any institution, any parachurch organization is not the author of your faith. As good as any church may be, as good as any ministry may be, they are not the author of your faith. It's not people. It's not parents. It's not children. We are just not the answer. But we point people to the answer, the Lord Jesus Christ. And once we think that we're the answer, we're on the wrong road. And he, the Lord Jesus Christ, definitely is all that. Look at Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. The Apostle John is the writer of this book. He's in exile on an island called Patmos. And he writes in verse 10 and 11, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. All right, go over to verse 18. I am he that liveth and was dead. Behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. All right, go to chapter 22. Remember what you just read. Chapter 22, and look at verse 12 and then verse 13. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Now, do you think that's a coincidence? That the book of Revelation begins with the foundation of our faith and it ends with the foundation of our faith? Or that this is great wisdom and knowledge? that here we have probably the most closed book and really unknown book as far as interpretation to most people of the Word of God. Most people don't want to touch this book. I forget how many times we've gone through it. It's a great book when you understand what it's saying. But do you think that it was coincidence or God's determinant will that it begins and ends with Jesus Christ? I think it's His determinant will. And I think it's the same with all of us. Our faith begins and ends with Jesus Christ and everything in between. The hymn writer of old got it right in the chorus. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. He is, in fact, the foundation of our faith. And looking unto Jesus, go back here to 12 again, and the third thing, the author and finisher of our faith. So He's the finisher, not only the author, but the finisher, the completer, the omega of our faith. Ephesians 4:30 says, and grieve not the Spirit of God. I'm sorry, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed. Sealed. The stamp of security. You are sealed unto the day of redemption. What He began, in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, He will complete. Being sealed, I just don't all of a sudden from within say, I'm going to pop that seal and walk out. It doesn't work that way. He is the seal of our salvation. He is the author of our salvation. All of these things are important. And really the other thing, although it's not mentioned here, He is the sustainer of our salvation. We're kept by the Spirit of God. Everything in between Alpha and Omega until we get home to be with heaven and heaven with Him. So I want to take this phrase, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, and see a few things what it will keep us from in our Christian lives. So turn with me to the book of Joel, chapter 23. Job chapter 23. You find Joel 23? Wrong Bible. Job chapter 23. Job is also a book that is not readily studied very much because it deals with the suffering of Christian people. Job 23. And the first thing that looking unto the Lord Jesus Christ will keep us from is stopping. Verse 1. Then Job answered and said, even today is my complaint bitter. My stroke is heavier than my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find Him, that I might come even to His seat. I would order my cause before Him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would know the words which He would answer me, and understand what He would say unto me. Will He plead against me with His great power? No, but He would put strength in me. The first thing that I see is here that He gives security, and Job is certain of it. The second thing that I see in here in verse 6, that He gives strength. Something that apart from Him, none of us have. Not only can we not produce fruit, we have no strength in and of ourselves to serve the Lord, apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. We have no desire to do that. The flesh doesn't want to serve the Lord. The flesh wants to stay home. The flesh wants to do this. It wants to do that. But it doesn't want to spend any time in God's Word. It doesn't want to learn. It doesn't want to study. It doesn't want to witness. It doesn't want to say the right things, look the right way, the right attitude. It wants nothing to do with anything like that. But the Lord, when we look to Him and we see Him for who He is, and one day we're going to see Him face to face, then it should stop us from this idea of quitting. All right, go down to verse 7. There the righteousness might dispute with him. So should I be delivered forever from my judge. Behold, I go forward, but he is not there. And backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. You know, our Lord glories in our safety. And even though there aren't answers, verse 10 is an answer. Even though we don't have answers, we have lots of questions. But he knows the way that we take. And after we're tested, how are we going to come out? Like fine gold. The old poem goes like this. And it's a young person poem, basically. Two frogs fell into a large cream bowl. The one was wise, a cheery soul. The other took a gloomy view and bid his friend a sad adieu. Said the other frog with a merry grin, I can't get out, but I won't give in. I'll swim around until my strength is spent, then I will die much more content. As he swam, though, ever it seemed, his struggling began to churn the cream, until on top of pure butter he stopped, and out of the bowl he quickly hopped. The moral, you ask, is easily found. If you don't get out, keep swimming around. All right? If you can't get out of where you're in, keep fighting. All right? Don't give up. Don't stop. And understand, the Lord knows exactly what's going on here. Looking unto Jesus will keep us from stopping, quitting. Number two, go to Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3. Looking unto Jesus will keep us from being scorched or singed. Obviously, you know what that has to do with. Let's look down here in verse 16. Daniel chapter 3. Now, the background, of course, if you don't know it, Nebuchadnezzar has set up this great, basically, foreshadowing of the Antichrist. And he has ordered all the musicians and all the people that play any kind of music to play. And when all the people come from all over, then they are to bow down to the music. It's an interesting concept. We see it going on today. Bow down to the music and worship Nebuchadnezzar. And so there are three that don't do it, and of course they get into trouble. Verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. And so they are of the persuasion that the Lord will deliver them through the fire, in the fire. At the end of verse 17, will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. Now, look at verse 18. But if not, how many but if nots have there been in all the world of history of people that have stood for the truth and not given in to the compromise and to the apostasy? But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. What makes that happen? I believe that our relationship to salvation determines our faith, our fate, as to what we're going to do or what we're not going to do. Many, many people, you can read it in these books of history, in the inquisitions that took place, and the position that they took. The people that rode the bandwagon, that just went along for the ride, would give in and they'd sign that they believed in the confession and all that, and they were going to do these kind of things. The people that believed in the Lord, go ahead, kill us. All that means is that we get to be with the Lord quicker than you know, normally. Well, look what happened, verse 27. 26, and then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. And they were thrown into a fiery furnace. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire, and the princes, governors, and captains, and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had how much power? No power. Nor was an hair of their head singed. You ever get too close to the fireplace? You're doing logs and stuff and you look at your hand and the hairs on your hand are all curled, singed. Neither were their coats changed, nor, this is the greatest of them all, the smell of fire passed on them. So the remarkable and miraculous stood before all these people that had bowed down and worshipped, and these had not, and were delivered to the Lord's great power, and they wind up being thrown into the burning fiery furnace. The end result, really, is that looking unto the Lord Jesus Christ will keep us from being spiritually, really, singed or scorched. We just have to keep our eyes on Him. We just have to. There's a story is told of a fire, not really certain where it was, but it was late at night. Fires are usually break out. There's a young boy upstairs asleep in his room, and the fire broke out and raged, came out of the kitchen, went up the staircase, and was going toward the bedrooms upstairs. The mother had fallen asleep downstairs on the sofa and was awakened by the flames. Couldn't make it up the stairs, so she raced out and screamed for her boy. Kept screaming for him, and then saw him out of the bedroom on the deck, second story, and screamed for him to jump. I'll catch you. The fire continued to rage. The smoke was billowing all over the place. And the boy knew that he had no escape but to jump. That would be his only chance to live. But all he could see was the fire and the smoke. He couldn't see his mother. He could hear her, but he couldn't see her. And so he cried out and he said, I can't jump. I can't jump. And she shouts again, jump, I'll catch you. Hurry. And he said, but I can't see you. Because the smoke and the flames were just getting too hot. And so she cried out, but I can see you. And that's all that matters. So jump. And of course, I guess the end of the story was that he did. And that's the thing. Look, you and I, we've got this. If you've got great vision and you've got great peripheral vision, you can see an awful lot. And you can see an awful lot spiritually as well. But we can't see everything. And we can't even see what tomorrow is going to bring. Can we? We can't even... Now, I know I'm diminishing my great knowledge and so forth, but I don't even know what the weather is going to be tomorrow. I know there's a lot of people that will tell me at a certain time this is going to happen. I get these alerts on the phone and they tell me at what minute the rain is going to come. It drives me crazy. How do you know what tomorrow's going to bring? We don't. But can't you live out the Christian life today? Doesn't He see you today? Where you are? Physically? Spiritually? Yes, so live it out. Because He can see you, and that's really all that matters. If you keep your eyes on Him, He sees you. So look to Him. Number three. Looking unto Jesus will keep us from sinking. Matthew chapter 14. And let's start here in verse 26. And when the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, there is a storm at sea of Galilee, there in the boat, Christ is not. They were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be so, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Now, pay attention. He walked on the water by looking at the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. You say, that's impossible. I'm sorry, did I read it wrong? Does yours say that he put his foot on the water and then fell right through? No, it says he walked on the water. How many steps did he take? I don't care. He walked on the water. His eyes were on the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, go to verse 30. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. Beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." What changed? He looked at the storm. Probably looked at the water. And became fearful. Everything changed. And he began to sink. What was he doing? He's looking at the circumstances. Yeah, and sometimes they're bad. Sometimes they're horrible. But when he kept his eyes, you know, he could have walked right to him, don't you? Said, that's impossible. No, he walked on the water. But as soon as he took his eyes off the Lord, then he saw everything that really kept him from doing what he was just asking to do. In verse 30, but when he saw the wind boisterous again, he was afraid. You know, one of the things that is hindering people today, no fear. They have no fear of God, no fear of the Lord Jesus Christ, no fear of hell, no fear of judgment, no fear of anything whatsoever, no fear. Peter was afraid. And the fear was the cause of his sinking. And he cries out, "Save me." If you had a healthy fear of hell, you know what? You would cry out to the Lord, "Save me," if you're not saved. You have no fear. You just think, well, it's not going to matter. This one religion versus another religion. This isn't religion. This is the truth. This is Christianity. And God says that he came for you, died for you, bled for you, rose again from the dead for you, and offers you salvation through him. Why salvation through him? Because your sin debt will send you to hell forever. I liken it to we're hanging on a frayed thread over eternity, over hell. And the wages of sin is death. Well, that hasn't been executed yet. But when you die and you haven't received Christ as Savior, bing, down you go. And you continue to go down, and there's no coming back up. If you were afraid of dying and not going to heaven, you would call out to the Lord to save you. If you were afraid as a Christian of being out of fellowship, you would cry out to the Lord, "Restore me to fellowship." You would name the sin. You would ask the Lord to do whatever he could to keep you from ever repeating that sin ever again. Because the fear of being out of fellowship with him would be so great. Probably the next greatest thing to the fear of being cast into hell. Peter cries out, "Save me." We mock Peter today. Peter is one of the great mock. He's a comedic joke. But he walked on the water. Let's put some of these comedians on the water. Let's put them all on the water. Let's take them out to the 6 inches of the Red Sea. Remember? The thing which the Israelites all crossed over. And see if they can walk on that and not drown. Come on. There was an interesting set of events that took place in the construction and ultimate sailing of the ship called the Titanic. After the completion of the construction of it, there was a statement made, and by whom I don't know, but it said this: even God Almighty could not sink the Titanic. Whether it got placed on a plaque on board, or it was just, you know, the captain, I have no idea, but I know that, I think it was an engineer, that the engineer placed his faith in his construction, not in the power of God. Where's your faith? What's it in? You? This building? Us? Or in the Lord Jesus Christ? Where is it? Placing your faith in anything or anyone more than the Lord, you're going to sink. You're going to perish. You're going to be destroyed. It's always been that way. It's always going to be that way. We should be a people that are looking to Him, because He will carry us through all and every storm of life, no matter how small or how large. So my question is this morning, to whom or to what are you trusting today? Faith is the substance of everything we are, because we look to the Lord Jesus Christ as everything concerning our faith. And without faith, it's impossible to please Him. It just can't be. We are people that have become very blinded to the spiritual because we've been looking through natural glasses. And our natural glasses always have to be revised. Every time I go to the eye doctor, he says, I think I'll up the whatever he ups and stuff. And so it makes it harder. If I take my glasses off, it's harder to read what I could read, you know, 15 or 20 years ago when my eyes, I got headaches, but at the same time I could read that. And so we're so used to that, we don't walk, we don't live, we don't view anything by faith. We do it by what we can see and feel and touch. And that's so flawed. And we can't do it. Let's go back here to Hebrews 12 and we'll be done. Hebrews chapter 12. The last verse in chapter, the first verse. Wherefore? Take the time on your own. Go to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. And see what these people went through. Or it's still going on or going through. And then take it to heart and let us lay aside every weight. What is it that's keeping you from being the person you should be in Christ and hindering your faith? Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. The Christian life is not only a walk, it's a race. And it's an endurance race. If you're a sprinter, you can't sprint all the way to the end. It's an endurance race. You have to pace yourself. You have to regulate your time. Right? But with looking, keeping our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's the key. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down on the right hand of the throne of God. Where are you this morning, spiritually speaking? Saved, lost. Christ came for you, died for you, rose again for you, offers salvation by grace through faith. Trust Him this morning. Receive Him by faith as your Savior. Christian life, we walk in by faith or by sight. Let's drop the sight and start living by faith. Because without living by faith, it is impossible. It is not improbable. It is impossible to please God. Let's pray. As you bow your heads this morning, close your eyes. Would you take the time before the invitation and let the Lord examine your heart? And if you do, with your eyes closed and your heads bowed, what does He see? Does He see a good person? Tries to live right? Doesn't try to do harm to anybody? That still hasn't received Christ as Savior? Still is lost in their sins, and if they died in that condition, they would go to hell? And act on that. Act on that. Respond to that. Let somebody show you how you can know beyond any question about your salvation. This is not a myth. This is not a religion. This is not some kind of outfit that's trying to do you to get you to do weird things. We want for you what we have gotten from Jesus Christ. Let them have the chance to do it. Christian, where are we exactly in our Christian life? May we understand who our Savior really is. Do we understand? He has secured for us everything necessary to be victorious in our Christian lives. Who better to look to? Who better to keep their eyes focused on? He is the focus. He is the foundation. He is the finisher. Yes, and He is the sustainer. There's many people walking around today that profess Christ. Disregard 1, 2, 3, or 4. May the Word guide your decision. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for everyone that's here today, everyone that might be watching. And we pray that we've brought honor and glory to Thee, focusing our attention on Your only begotten Son, the One who makes and has made all of this possible. Speak to every heart. There's something going on that somebody feels the intent to come and pray or needs to talk with somebody. Father, we just ask them to come and we'll have somebody sit down with them, show them how they, what the Word says in every situation, Lord willing. And Father, may You have this Your way in this invitation, for we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
This is Pastor Eccleston again. I trust that the preceding message was a spiritual blessing to you. If God has spoken to your heart, I encourage you to respond in whatever area He is leading. You know, there's no more important issue than your relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you sense your need to trust Him as your personal Savior, He will save you if you receive the Lord Jesus Christ by faith in His finished work to pay the full debt of your sin. Please call us or write us or email us in this most important matter or any other spiritual matter. Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." Are you seeking the Lord? I truly hope so.